Hello, baseball fans. Welcome back to another edition of the Roster Rhetorical. This is episode number 26. Matt and Chris here once again. This is the second episode we're recording this week, and this is a special one. I think this is one that we're both excited about. We're going to delve into our predictions for the season. It is a weekend, but this was something that we kind of had planned for a little while. So we're going to get into it. We're going to give you our division winners, who we have ultimately going to the World Series and winning, and you know, some award winners. I think we're going to cover MVP and our Cy Young, and maybe we'll throw in Rookie of the Year. I don't know. So, Matt, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. How about you?
I'm good. Your nickname confused me this week, and I feel we have to bring the viewers, listeners in on this. So can you just explain why your nickname this week is Shimmy?
It is for Cueto's fantastic performance against the Dodgers last night, and just watching him, obviously I knew he had that weird kind of hitch in his motion that he would break out every now and again, but it's so strange to see it on a regular basis, and I just don't know how anyone prepares for that and makes contact when he kind of throws a little kink into his delivery.
All right, well, so we use a program called Zencaster to record our shows, guys, and I normally set it up, and then I send Matt the link so he can join in and we can talk and stuff like that. So when he pops in, you know, I'm always looking to see what his name is for a given week. And normally, I'm able to somewhat figure it out because I follow Matt on Twitter, and it's normally something he's been tweeting about or something, and I'm able to somewhat figure it out. This one, not a clue. Just, I was out to left field on it, so I'm glad you were able to clear that up. So, Matt, I know we want to get to our predictions, and we want to talk about why we picked some of the teams that we picked this year, but I know I mentioned this at the end of last week's show, but we do have some pressing news to get to, and that is that Adrian Beltre did sign a two-year, $36 million contract extension with the Texas Rangers that will pay him $18 million in 2017 and $18 million in 2018. So an even split, no money, you know, getting pushed off to either the second year or him getting more in the first year. Matt, this was kind of expected. We kind of thought that at some point they were going to get this done. I mean, Beltre is one of the big bats in that lineup, and they needed to bring him back as their young core sort of comes together and stuff. So it was nice to see this done. I was a little surprised that it didn't happen right before the season started, and it kind of went into the first or second week of the season, because we're seeing more and more of players not wanting to talk contract during the season. But now that it's done, what do you think? Do you think the Rangers got good value here? I know they're paying him $18 million, and he is going to be 37 next year? Does that sound right?
He's 37 right now and 10 days old.
So he will be 38 next year.
Yeah, so they're essentially signing him for his full age 38 and 39 season, which normally you don't want to see, just because anyone that's getting up in the 40 range is generally already far past their prime and well into their decline years. But Beltre has seemingly avoided all of that, and since the 2010 season, he's put up at least a 108 WRC plus. And if you take out last year, I think he dealt with some injury troubles throughout the year. He's posted a WRC plus of at least 135. And he's posted an F-WAR of at least 4.6 since 2010. So he's clearly a very valuable player. And for whatever reason, he has just avoided the massive decline that we generally see when a player gets into their mid-30s. So I don't think it's outrageous at all, especially, you know, considering what players are going for in free agency this year. If Beltre puts up another fantastic year in 2016, that price likely would have gone up. And if the Rangers did want to bring him back, they would have been competing against lots of other teams that needed a steady third baseman, and maybe they would have had to go to 3 years and maybe a higher AAV, and maybe it would have gotten somewhat crazy and they would have had to offer him 3 years, $60 million. That's obviously speculation, but I think it makes a lot of sense for the Rangers. And I think the funniest part of all of this was the story that came out that Bud Selig reportedly ripped the Rangers for giving Beltre his initial five-year, $80 million deal. And that's proven to have been quite the bargain.
He was worth, according to Fangraphs, what is it, $125.3 million in surplus value?
Yeah, it was something insane. Definitely the just to check.
I think because it's in the article here that you wrote, so I'm assuming that that's accurate. I
did get it from FanGraphs.
That's a tongue twister right there.
Yeah.
So they definitely got value off of that original contract. And this is a guy that's wanted to stay, you know, with the Rangers beyond this season, and probably he'll finish his career there. And, you know, when coming up with these values for contracts, there are certain things that, you know, don't have stats to back them up. And this is one of them. You know, this is a guy that, you know, has made his career here. He's played really well here. You know, there's value in keeping him around for, you know, the fans and for, you know, maybe to let him finish his career there. So, you know, that's what maybe can bring it. You can justify the $18 million if there's some additional value in it. But, you know, if he can stay healthy, which is, you know, a big question mark for a guy that's going to be 38 and 39, you know, bodies just tend to break down. And it may be hard for him to play 160 games year in and year out for those last 2 years. But if he can stay somewhat healthy, stay on the field, you know, he can play third base, he can DH. So they can kind of try to protect him that way. If he's able to stay on the field and be in that lineup, then I think they're going to get almost all the value out of that $18 million a year. I don't see, you know, him not being able to produce at least, you know, somewhat to the level that he has produced now. So definitely a nice deal for them to get done, not have that weighing as the season goes on. And, you know, they can now start to look toward, you know, just making this team better and competing this year in a division where they're seemingly one of the two teams that could potentially win the division. Matt, I'm going to bring something up that was not in the pre-show notes, and I know how much you love that, but on the side of your article here, there is a thing for the team shop for hats. And it made me think of the tweet that you sent out about how Amazon has a bunch of hats on sale.
Oh, yeah.
Did you end up getting any? I know, because I looked. Did you purchase any yet?
You know, I didn't, because I realized that I only wear one hat. And it's pretty much that I wear it almost every single day. I also wear my high school hat that I coach for, obviously, during practice. But I have one beat up Giants hat that I've worn probably 90% of the time for the last 5 years. And I've got a bunch of hats already. I have more. I stopped counting. I have more hats than there have been presidents. So I decided
You have like 45 of them?
I've got way more. I think I've got like 50 some odd hats now, and I just don't wear them anymore. So I decided that despite the $12 to $13 price tag that most of them had, I couldn't do it just because I knew I wouldn't wear them.
Well, it's funny. I have a Met hat. I have the one with the orange brim.
My Giants hat has the orange brim.
And that one is like really, really old. That one is from like 5-6 years ago, and I wore that thing all the time. And then my girlfriend got me the black one, sort of when they used to wear the black jerseys. And that one is nicer because it doesn't get as dirty. But the two that I saw that I really wanted to buy was they had the All-Star Game hat from last year, which everyone thought was atrocious, but I actually, you know, kind of enjoyed. And then the new, like, I don't like the they wear that dark blue jersey with the gray lettering now that's in New York. And they have the hat to go with it that has like the gray, the Mets is gray. And they had that one, and both of them were like $20. So I almost pulled the trigger. But I'm like you, I only have one hat in my rotation that I wear constantly. So I didn't know if it was worth dropping the money to get some more hats.
Yeah, I like the fact that I have a really beat up hat that doesn't have a World Series logo or anything on it. Just the classic look. So I'm sticking with that one.
Well, I don't have a Mets hat that has a World Series logo on it at all. So, because that's not a thing.
Brings back bad memories.
Some sour thoughts from last October. All right. So, Matt, that does it for all of the news that we have to get to, right?
Yes.
I think that was our only major story. So let's get into what the meat of this episode is about. And that is us probably making ourselves look like fools and giving our predictions for the season. And yes, I know we're about a week into the year, but my tweet of predictions is from April 3rd at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so before the first game of the season, or a little bit into the first game of the season. So these were done beforehand, so I didn't cheat. And if I tell you who my World Series champion is, you will probably know that I haven't been cheating. Matt, where do you want to start with this? Do we start with the American League or the National League?
Let's start with the senior circuit.
The senior circuit. All right. So you want to go first?
I can do that. Would you like me to go division by division?
Go division by division and just, you know, pick it, say the team, and then, you know, kind of your one line summary of why you picked them.
All right. Well, I'm going with in the NL West, I'm going with my Giants. Nothing to do with the even year theory, but the reloaded rotation, little worried about Bumgarner right now because his velocity is noticeably down. But with the lineup, I'm not too worried. He's had a couple bad starts here early in the year, but the lineup one through nine now, since Bochy's having the pitcher bat eighth a lot of the time, but leading off with Span and then Panic, Posey, Pence, Belt, Duffy, Crawford, pitcher, and then Pagan is working pretty well for the Giants so far. So a lot of confidence in the team and the bullpen solid. So I'm going with them. The Cubs are my central pick, and I think that's pretty self-explanatory. It seems like every
don't
time
need to say anything about
no,
that.
I mean, like they, like I don't know. They're just I don't want to call them the baseball version of the Warriors, just because nobody's that good in baseball. But it seems like every time the Cubs play, unless they're facing Kershaw, it's just like, yeah, they'll probably win this game.
Now they are losing to the Rockies in the bottom of the eighth right now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. The Rockies have just been like kryptonite to the Cubs so far this series, but barring them playing the Rockies and Clayton Kershaw every day, I think they'll be okay. And then with the NL East, I'm going with the Mets. I know their offense got off to a slow start, but with that pitching rotation, you really don't need much offense. So as long as they score three runs a game, they'll be fine.
So I'm going to make this really easy for everybody. I have the same three teams. The Giants, I love that rotation. I love what they've done. The concerns of Bumgarner, you know, are concerns, and fans should be a little bit worried, but I'm sure whatever it is, it'll get figured out, and they have a really good lineup, and it's an even year, so they have to win the division. It's just kind of how this works. The Cubs, I don't really know of a pitching staff. Maybe you can argue the Mets that could really mow down that lineup top to bottom. It's probably the best in baseball, and they're just going to win a ton of games. And I have the Mets as well in the National League East. I think their rotation, you know, has been good over these first 11 games. They are 5-6, but their rotation's been good, probably besides Matt Harvey not getting off to a great start. But they have Noah Syndergaard. Mats has been good. DeGrom's health is a concern, but doesn't seem to be an issue that could keep him out for an extended period of time. He may have to miss a couple starts. And their lineup doesn't have to be, you know, great in order for them to win games. They really only have to score maybe three or four runs, and they definitely have the lineup to do that, and I have them winning the East. So, Matt, you want to do wild cards, or should we go to the American League and do the divisions first?
Yeah, let's get the wild cards out of the way.
All right. I have an NL East team and an NL Central team for my two wild cards. I'm taking the Nationals, who have been off to a good start, so I look pretty good with this pick so far. They're 9-1. New manager Dusty Baker seems to have them going in the right direction. I'm not sure they're going to be able to keep up their 900 winning percentage, but, you know, we'll see. And I just like their lineup. You know, they have Bryce Harper that normally will work on an everyday basis. They have a good rotation. And they play in a division that has three weaker teams that they should be able to beat up on and get a bunch of wins. And then my second wild card from the NL Central is the Cardinals. And I weighed this one because I wanted to pick the Pirates, but I just don't know if the Pirates are going to be able to win enough games when they have to play the Cubs and the Cardinals. The Cardinals are a team that seemingly every time they lose somebody, another guy steps up. They lost, you know, Hayward to the Cubs, and they have Grichuk and Piscotty that are probably going to step up out there in the outfield. They're pitching with Wainwright and Carlos Martinez is pretty good. I don't think they're going to be able to win as many games as the Cubs will, but they will be able to win enough to get into the wild card.
Yeah, and a quick note on that. Adam Wainwright looks really, really awful.
Yeah, like, I don't know
what's up with him, but he's just not the guy that we've seen over the last 5 years. And maybe the injuries are finally catching up with him, but he just it's only, three starts so far this year? So
I don't want to, you know, label it as a huge concern, but it is something to worry about. And going forward, he's going to have to, you know, get back to his old ways for them to have a chance in that division.
And it's just his strikeout numbers have been declining ever since 2013. Last year, I think we kind of ignored it because he only threw 28 innings, but he's walking guys now. Just not the same Adam Wainwright, only getting 38% ground balls, but
he's either going to have to, you know, make the adjustment and figure out what he's doing wrong, or he's going to have to change the way he pitches and realize that, you know, at this stage of his career, what got him to the big leagues, you know, all these past years isn't going to work, and he's going to have to change his game in order to be successful. And a lot of guys do that late in their career. They change the way they pitch, and they sort of figure it out. And if there's one guy I'm not betting against, it's Adam Wainwright. So
yeah,
he seems to always come back from things like this. So
it's also still shocking to me that he's only 34 years old. I feel like he's been 34 for the last 10 years, but clearly I'm wrong on that one.
That's not how math works, Matt.
I know.
So I'm just kidding.
And then I've got the Dodgers for the first wild card spot. Or I guess I didn't really do it that way.
Yeah,
I've got the Dodgers for one wild card spot, and then the Nationals for the other.
Really? So you're only taking one team out of what some would say is the best division in baseball?
Well, I know it was last year. The Cardinals, I'm not really sold on this year. They've got Lance Lynn was hurt. He's gone for the whole year. Wainwright's issues are concerning at this point. And they've still got an unproven outfield in general. And they lost Hayward and Lackey, who are both, you know, you could argue Hayward was the best player on the Cardinals last year. And I wouldn't argue that Lackey was the best pitcher on the Cardinals last year, because that would just be wrong. But you know, he was really good, and they lost that. They replaced him with Mike Leake, essentially. So I'm not sold on the Cardinals just yet, but they do have that devil magic. So if they do make the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
I like how it's just referred to as devil magic, because
I mean, it is at this point.
I mean, there's no way to explain it, because I mean, they just
Aledmys Diaz is hitting incredibly well.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, I discussed on this show how I thought he should have been the shortstop when Peralta went down.
So I am glad he's getting a chance to play.
I just want a little credit for his success, just a little, that I supported him.
I think I'm going to give it to his years and probably decades worth of dedication to the craft. But we can
really,
give
you're
you
not
like
going to give it to me.
No, we can give you like a hundredth of a percent of credit, though.
That's enough for me. I'll take it. American League divisional winners. We're not the same on this, right? I know we have a bunch
I
of
think
these.
We have the two same. Are the same.
Okay, I have. Oh boy, this is gonna be ugly. In the American League West, I have the Astros, and yes, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Chris, they're 4-8. They're in last place in the West. I didn't know that they were gonna be 4-8 to start the year when I picked them. I like their team. I think they have good pitching behind Dallas Keuchel, Mike Fiers, who I had to drop from my fantasy team, is there as well. Their young core of hitters, George Springer, I think he hit a home run today. I thought I saw a highlight of that. Carlos Correa. And this is a team that has a young core. They put themselves in a good position last year, a year that nobody thought they were really going to go far. They made the playoffs, and I thought they would, you know, they were going to capitalize on that this year. And I still think they can. It's very early. It's 12 games. That's not a big sample size to sort of rule them out. I still think over the course of an entire season that they are going to be the best team in the West. In the Central, I'm rarely one to pick a team based on how well their offseason was. I'm not a believer in if you win the offseason, you know, that puts you in a good position to win the division. We saw what happened with the Padres with that. It happens in sports. You know, teams go out and they sign all these players and fans get so excited and it just doesn't work out. But I'm a believer in the White Sox. I think with Chris Sale leading the way, they have a good rotation. They have Carlos Rodon. You know, that those are a good 1-2 punch to have. Trading for Todd Frazier was a big deal. It gives them an all-star level bat to go with Jose Abreu, to go with, you know, they have Melky Cabrera. They have the pieces to put together a competent lineup in a division that's not really that strong. I know they have the defending world champs in the Royals, but no team leaps off the page of me like that they're that much better. And the White Sox, before they got all these guys, were probably around a 500 team, and getting these guys may push them in the right direction. And in the East, I took the Blue Jays. Their pitching is a concern for me, but they have probably, them and the Cubs can go back and forth on who has the better lineup. But Marcus Stroman's looked good. Sanchez has looked good. And they have the pieces to, you know, make a deep run this year and sort of quell the memories of last year of them making that miracle run and getting knocked out. And we can see more Jose Bautista bat throws. So that's always good. Matt?
Well, I've got the Astros in the West, too, and I know they're 4-8, but that lineup is still so good, and I really wish they could go back in time and not trade Velasquez and Appel and Eshelman and Arauz and Oberholzer for Ken Giles, but what's done is done. They could certainly use that pitching depth now with who's on the DL right now. It's McCullers, I think. McCullers is on the DL. And Keuchel's off to a slow start, although he looked better in his last start. But, I mean, with Altuve, Correa, Springer, Rasmus is looking great. I have a hard time believing that they – or I have a hard time not – I don't know where I was going with that sentence. I think they're going to win the division.
You have a hard time believing that they're going to continue to be
– play this poorly for the whole year. There we go. Teamwork.
I got you. It's yeah, we got to work together sometimes. Yeah.
So, and then in the Central, I've got the Royals just because of Dayton Moore, Devil Magic, breaking out the Devil Magic again. Well, hey, Dayton Moore has DM and Devil Magic is DM, so maybe I've cracked the code there. Yeah. And so I know the Royals are always hated on by every single projection system to ever be created, but until they start playing bad baseball, I'm not going to bet against them. And then I also have the Blue Jays just because that lineup is terrifying. It's off to a pretty bad start this year. I think Russell Martin is striking out close to 50% of the time. And I checked earlier today.
You were tweeting about this.
His WRC plus is currently negative, which I don't know if I've ever seen before.
Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, you can be that much worse than league average that it goes into a negative value. Dellin Betances has a negative FIP right now.
Dellin Betances, not to sidebar, but what Dellin Betances and Andrew Miller are doing for the Yankees.
Yeah, it's unfair.
That is scary.
If there was an above MLB league, they would both certainly be in there. Also, then, speaking of the Royals, Mike Moustakas just hit a home run against the A's, so I'm liking that pick still.
That's okay. There you go. And just to add one more thing to that Yankees thing, they're going to get Chapman back.
Yeah.
That's just not fair.
And I did say this earlier on Twitter. I can't root for him anymore just because once you get caught up in domestic violence allegations, that's kind of game over for me.
Right. I'm the same way with Patrick Kane in hockey.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. So I can't root for him anymore, but you can still appreciate the raw talent without rooting for a guy. Yeah. And if a guy can throw a fastball 105 miles an hour, it's hard not to appreciate that aspect of him. And so when the Yankees get him back, they're just going to have, I mean, it could be the best bullpen of all time that we've seen so far.
Yet we didn't pick them.
No, I mean, it's a great bullpen, but I don't like that rotation. I think they have a lot of holes in their offense. I don't think they'll be bad, but I don't think they'll be good enough to make it back to the playoffs.
Wild card? We didn't do that yet, right?
No, I have the Rangers getting one spot.
So do I.
Because they're playing well right now, yep. And then they're going to get you Darvish back, not too far down the line.
And they're going to get Shin-Soo Choo back.
Right.
So that'll help their lineup.
And then I have the Tigers getting the other spot.
All right, I picked another AL Central team. I took the Royals because Devil Magic. So you had them winning the division. I just had them in the wild card. That's really the only difference. Your World Series.
My World Series, I'm going with the same one that I chose last year, and both of my teams got eliminated in the CS, so that kind of gives it away. I'm going with the Cubs over the Blue Jays.
I have the Astros over the Mets.
So you have your own team losing again in the World Series?
I have my own team losing 2 years in a row in the World Series.
That's bold. Well, maybe the Mets could be the baseball version of the Bills.
Why would you even wish that on somebody?
I'm not wishing. I'm just saying it could happen. Or just the new Rangers.
I may fall out of love with baseball if that happened. I don't know. That's tough for me. I love baseball, but if the Mets went to 4 straight World Series and lost all 4.
Yeah.
That would be tough. That would be tough.
Especially since it's not one game. You technically have, you know, 7 game series each time to.
Right, right. It would be an emotional just roller coaster. All right. Awards. So this, folks, we did not plan this. And before the show, we shared with each other who our picks are. And this is a little uncanny that me and Matt did this. Matt, your National League MVP.
Not really a surprise pick here, but it's Bryce Harper. Now that he's, I mean, we all kept waiting for that one breakout year, which isn't to say that his first couple years weren't just truly impressive. I mean, when you're a 19-year-old playing professional baseball and you can smack over 20 homers, that's pretty damn impressive. But what he did last year, he really showed everyone that those early comparisons to being the LeBron James of baseball were not unfounded, and he was just unbelievable last year. So barring an injury, he's my guy.
So I had Harper, but me and Matt have pretty much every other pick the same. So I said, okay, I'll go outside the box, and I'm going to pick Paul Goldschmidt of the Diamondbacks. And if you are a believer of the Diamondbacks and what they did this offseason, and you think they are going to make a run for the division and, you know, potentially a deep playoff run, Paul Goldschmidt is going to be the reason they get there. Pure power, you know, can drive in runs. It's going to hit close to 300, if not 300, and plays good first base, all-around good player, and he can hang with the best of them. You know, the last couple of years, he's been up there in terms of all the best hitting statistics in the National League with the likes of Harper, you know, Rizzo, Chris Bryant, whoever you want to put up there. Goldschmidt is on that list too. So I'm picking Goldschmidt. American League MVP.
I am going Carlos Correa.
Okay. I'm just going to say I have Correa too, just so we can speed this along.
He plays shortstop, which I think will help his case. Not to say that Trout plays an easy position by any means, but a shortstop that could, I mean, he's got 40 homer power. Yep. Showed it last year, and playing shortstop, being the captain of the infield. I think that if we get a full version of what he played like last year, that the wow factor and the newness factor might carry over another just usually fantastic season from Trout. I think his general greatness and how easy he makes it look works against him at the end of the year. We're all just so used to him putting up these nearly 10 WAR seasons that by now at this point, it's just kind of like, well, yeah, that's what he does. So what? But I think Correa is going to take the title this year, and Trout will probably finish second again.
Yeah. Trout makes it look so easy. He would have to have a 20 WAR season to make it to look impressive. Yeah. You know, and it kind of works against him, like Matt was saying. So, but yeah, I think Correa is a good
pick. Oh my God. Bryce Harper just hit another homer.
See, I want to switch my pick back now, but I'll stick with Goldschmidt. AL Cy Young.
I am going with Christopher Sale.
Okay. I have Sale as well. Let's just be very just upfront about this. We both have
Chris Sale. Both of our Cy Young picks are the same.
Yes. And the way that I had described this to Matt before the show, and I pulled up the schedule for the day on MLB.com, and I have the sidebar, and I was looking at all the teams in the American League. And I waited for pitchers to pop out in my head because I didn't want any statistics to judge my pick here. And Chris Sale was the first name that came to mind. And Matt said, you know, you could go Chris Archer. Who was the other one that you had?
Oh, Kluber.
Kluber. You could go with Corey Kluber. Although I did watch him get beat up by the Mets today, so that may have clouded my judgment. So, you know, I just think when you look at it, the National League probably has more borderline, you know, you could go a bunch of different ways. In the American League, there aren't a ton. And Chris Sale has been so good for so long that I think picking him is rather obvious. And then, go ahead.
That slider is just so filthy. I mean, he struck out almost 12 batters per nine innings last year, and he didn't walk more than two. The ERA wasn't spectacular, but his FIP was 2.73, and he was only 26 strikeouts away from 300, and obviously 26 is a lot, but his motion is so weird, and just the way that his slider breaks almost across the width of a batter's box sometimes.
Speaking of unfair sliders.
Yeah.
Our National League Cy Young winner is Noah Syndergaard of the New York Mets.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody can hit him.
No, and it sounds crazy to say in a league where, you know, you've got Kershaw and Arrieta and Greinke still. Obviously, his first two starts in Arizona weren't good, but, I mean, he's not going to be that bad the entire year. But Syndergaard throws sliders past people, not in the way that you'd normally think where they're flailing at pitches outside the zone, but he's throwing sliders at 95 miles an hour that people just legitimately can't catch up to, which I don't think I've ever seen before. Obviously, I mean, some people call the Werthen slider just kind of a variation of a cutter, but even if it is a cutter, no one's, I mean, Kenley Jansen throws a pretty hard cutter, but it doesn't break as much.
He's a closer horizontally. Too.
Yeah. So Syndergaard is just unreal. He's got 100 mile an hour sinker, 100 mile an hour fastball, a 95 mile an hour slider, a 90 mile an hour changeup, and then a knee buckling curveball.
Yeah.
He's a video game.
A curveball he dumps in probably at like 83 on you.
Yeah.
And you just look silly. Yeah. I mean, when they traded for him, and we were talking about this before the show, could be one of the weirder trades I've ever seen in my baseball.
Yeah, life. I mean, why would you let go of a prospect that could throw upper 90s, a catcher that can hit for a knuckleballer? It just, now, I don't understand that. I know he was coming off his Cy Young season, but at the end of the day, he's a knuckleballer.
Now, if it wasn't Syndergaard, and I don't know how many people know this, but being a Mets fan, I followed this trade very, very closely. It was either Syndergaard or Sanchez that were going to be.
That would have been lopsided either way.
No, I know, but just think that it could have very easily been Sanchez that would have been a Met.
Right.
Is interesting. But yeah, to trade Travis d'Arnaud, Syndergaard, and there's another kid that they traded. Wilmer Bucera or Bucera. I don't remember his name. I had to close my eyes and think of it for a minute. Was the third piece in that deal. And at the time, everyone said, yeah, Syndergaard and Darno are going to be good, but this third guy could be something, and he is moving through the ranks in the Mets organization and is a potential big-time prospect moving forward. And they traded that for Josh Tolley, R.A. Dickey, and my favorite, non-elite prospect Mike Nickias.
Yeah, it didn't make sense at the time. Doesn't make any sense now. And, you know, Syndergaard's not going to strike out 14.54 batters per nine innings.
He might.
But, well, that's what I was going to say. If I was in Vegas and someone offered me that bet, I would totally take the under. If he wound up with, you know, 11 or 12, that wouldn't shock me. But if he did wind up with a K per nine or something like 14, that wouldn't shock me either just because of how insanely good his repertoire is now. And that's not to say that it wasn't good last year, but a 95 mile an hour slider is just, that's what you could do in a video game. No one's done that before in real life.
I just want to remind everyone he's 23 years old. Just a casual reminder.
And his motion is so smooth.
Makes it look effortless. Makes it look very effortless. He's throwing 99, 100, and it doesn't look like he's putting a lot of pressure on his arm. His motion's fluid. For when he pitches from the stretch, it's not that different from when.
Well, yeah, he's got that hybrid move that I don't know who really popularized that. I want to say maybe David Price, because I remember when he started pitching in 07. I think it was 07. Was that the year that the Red Sox won in 07, I think. You know what? It was 08, because that was the year that the Rays went to the World Series. I think that was one of the first times I'd really seen a guy do that, and I'm probably just showing my age bias and that I'm younger, so I don't remember other guys doing it, but it's really popular now. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense because you should try and make your delivery and your stretch motion as similar as can be. So that way, when you get knocked into the stretch, you don't have this weird switch that you have to make and your mechanics change. So I love the fact that Syndergaard's kind of got that hybrid motion that we're seeing now.
You know what? Just because, and I don't know, we didn't talk about this before the show. Do we want to do Rookie of the Year picks?
If you have some ready, I could think about it.
Yeah, I have two. And this is going to sound very biased. My National League Rookie of the Year is going to be Steven Matz.
Does he still qualify?
I don't think
he does.
Oh, now I have to check this out.
Can't remember how many innings it is, but he threw 35 last year.
Hold on. Now I need to know, because if he's not my pick. Yeah, you could do 35.2 last year.
Yeah, I think the limit. Oh, you know what?
No, rookie 45. Status still intact through 2016. It says on Baseball
Reference. Okay, so you can go with that pick.
So I'm going to pick Steven Matz.
Okay.
And now I don't have an American League one ready. I sort of suggested this topic, and now I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Oh boy.
Let's see. In the National League, I think Corey Seager still works, right?
How many at bats did he?
I don't think he got enough. He only got.
You could pick Kenta Maeda, too.
Nah, I kind of wish that wasn't allowed.
What? No.
I understand that the competition is different, but I mean, that guy won two equivalent Cy Young Awards in Japan, so to call him a rookie just seems kind of. I'm not a big fan. When Jose Abreu won it, I kind of didn't like that either.
I have my American League one, by the way.
Okay, and let's see. Seager only accumulated. Well, he had 113 plate appearances, so I'll need to check that one.
I need to make sure that he works.
But who is yours?
Tyler White.
Oh, okay. He's on my fantasy team.
Yeah, he is hitting .395 with four homers to start the year. So I'm going to pick him. So Tyler White, Steven Matz. And you're going with Seager? I can check this for you.
I need to check just to make sure. You know, I think he might have actually
I'll check.
Eclipsed
rookie.
Yeah, he can only have 75 at bats, so he's not.
No, it says rookie status on Baseball Reference. It says his rookie status is still intact through 2016.
Huh. All right. Well,
you have to have 130 at bats.
Oh, 130. Oh, yeah. What I'm looking at said. You know what? I was looking at the wrong. I was looking at the first limitation. So, yeah, 130. Yeah,
he had 130 bats, and he only had 98 last year.
All right, so I'm going to go with Corey Seager for the NL. And then in the AL, I'm going to go with Jose Berrios.
Oh, very nice.
Because the Twins can't pitch very well, as we've noticed in the early season. So I think they will turn to Berrios rather quickly.
To base that off?
Would it be their whole record?
Yeah.
You know, they haven't, I think I wrote this article. They haven't been as horrible on the pitching side.
Is there a 2-9 record in the case?
Yeah. It's just they're middle of the pack. So they're really not, there's nothing preventing Berrios from being called up other than they don't think he's ready yet. Or maybe they don't want to start a service clock. So I think once we get past the Super 2 status, I think you'll see Berrios pretty quickly.
They are taking the Angels to the brink. It's 2-2 in the top of the ninth. Today. So they may get that. They may get that third win. So just saying. All right. I think that covers it. We got all of our stuff in, right?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, now that it's our time to say goodbye, this is where I remind you that to get all of the latest Roster Rhetorical episodes, your best way to do that is to subscribe to us on iTunes. You just go to iTunes, type in the Roster Rhetorical, the show pops up. You click on it, and there's a little button in the on the left side. This is subscribe. You click that, you get all the episodes that we have downloaded directly to your podcast section on iTunes, right on your mobile device, as soon as they come out. So as soon as I edit this and release this Monday morning, when you're listening to this, it'll be there. It'll drop there, and you can click on it, listen to it on your way home from work, while you're working out, whatever. So that is the best way to stay in touch with us in terms of, you know, getting the episodes as soon as they're out. And having them on demand at all times. And, you know, leave your thoughts on this week's episodes and your predictions in the comments below of wherever you're listening to this. If you're on iTunes, go to MLBDailyDish.com. There's an entire page that we set up that gives you a breakdown of what the show's about, key timestamps, and all that kind of stuff. Matt, I want to close the show with this. Are you playing Beat the Streak for MLB.com?
I am not.
That's disappointing.
I'm sorry.
You need to get involved in that. My streak is up to 11, and I didn't pick anybody today because my theory is on Sundays a lot of the bench guys get in. So mm-hmm. I don't want to take a chance, so I'm gonna skip a day, and you don't get penalized for skipping a day. As long as you don't make a pick, you don't lose. So I'm skipping today, and tomorrow I'm gonna get back into it and go for 56 and go for $5.6 million.
I think maybe I'll take the every other day approach and just pick Harper.
That also could get you to 56. The leaders are at 22 already, and I'm like 1,000th best. It's a little off putting, but we'll see. If I win $5.6 million, then we can upgrade the whole show. New microphones.
Well, that sounds good.
So there you go. So, all right, guys, thank you for joining us this week, and we will be back next week.
See ya.